You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Thursday edition, and just a short reminder, we do not have shows during the summer on Friday, so there will not be a Friday show. There are several stories in the news. They're not big stories, but it's a, let us say, exchange of words or war words. And one involves Iran. Now, the president, some would say threatened, but made clear to Iran that they better not threaten the United States again or face the consequences. I really think this is just, unfortunately, a war of words, because now we have a general, a major general. Most Americans don't know him, but Iranians do. Followed up, and this is Soleimani. He's a commander of the Quds forces. I want to say they're sort of like special forces, but that's not really accurate. But he's listened to, popular in Iran, and he didn't threaten, but he did make clear that if Trump would engage Iran militarily, they would go after Americans in the United States, including Trump's properties. I was thinking, you know, what would the United States do? And I think the general's making a key point here. And you have to look at the map. It's the Strait of Hormuz. On one side, you have Iran. On the other side, you have Saudi Arabia, the Arab Emirate, Qatar, and other. And the big divide is the Iranians are Persian. Ethnic group is Persian. And in terms of the branch of Islam, they are Shia. Why, in the Middle East, the majority are Sunni. And of the roughly 1.8 billion, that's what it'd be, billion Muslims in the world, the overwhelming majority, 89-90%, are Sunni. But in Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, they're Shia. And there's been a long, let us say, disagreement between Shia and Sunni. They don't particularly care for each other. And what we have going on in the Middle East is a cold war that could quickly escalate into a hot war. What Iran has been doing is fighting the United States through proxies, proxy wars. And the same thing with Saudi Arabia. The biggest supporter of the Assad regime is Iran. And Iran supports Hezbollah. The majority in Syria are Sunni, and they're primarily the rebels. But who's winning? Assad regime is winning. Their major ally besides Iran. Iran provides those proxies is Russia. So it's a very dangerous place. But oil passes through the Strait of Hormuz. And you just have to look at a map and see what I'm talking about. I'll probably put a map up, but one of the videos explains the Cold War in the Middle East. And the danger, the real danger in the Middle East, is if Iran develops nuclear weapons. Because then you would have an arms race. And quickly, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Turkey, and Jordan, but primarily Saudi Arabia, that has the money, would buy nuclear weapons from Pakistan. So we don't want the spread of nuclear weapons, especially in the Middle East, because you always run the risk, as more people have nuclear weapons, these nuclear weapons could get in the hands of terrorists that could explode the nuclear weapons, either any place in Europe, any place in the United States, or for that matter, any place in the world. They would go after Israel first. Now, Israel has, no one knows the exact number, and they will not admit they have nuclear weapons, but I think it's several hundred, but they're not going to announce it. And if, and here's the big danger, if Israel feels the nation is at risk, in other words, Iran truly does have the capability of delivering these nuclear weapons, and that's why it's important to get the total denuclearization of North Korea, because Iran is using North Korea to develop those nuclear weapons. So you need to make, and this is a story that cries out for connections. You need to get both the big picture and the connections here. You know, today, a lot of the stories are following up on what I covered last show about trade, and I thought it was a great day to paraphrase President Trump for free and fair trade, but they're negotiating. They're beginning to negotiate. There's no real deal yet, so I'm not getting too excited because I want to see the results. What President Trump wants to do is to limit the magnitude of the trade deficit with Europe by reducing tariffs on U.S. exports to the various countries in the European Union. No, I agree with him with that. And it's not only tariffs, it's really non-tariff barriers that are really what you really need to focus in on. Now, Europe still has high tariffs, and it's on U.S. cars as well as farm goods. So I'm cautiously optimistic, and I think the European nations know that the phrase that I use, and I hear more people using it, we have a new sheriff in town and he's taking names, and Europe has gotten away with running massive deficits with the United States because it has non-tariff barriers. And it's the same thing with the communist Chinese. But it's also linked to nuclear weapons. The United States provides the nuclear shield for Western Europe. So I totally agree with President Trump trying to get the Europeans to increase the percentage of their GDP, gross domestic product, that's spent on military spending. The goal is 2%. Now, Trump tried to say, well, because you haven't been meeting it, most of the countries in the NATO have not been meeting their commitments. Only a handful have. So if you want that nuclear shield, Western Europe, you better anti up. And the American people back Trump because they're sick and tired of paying taxes and paying for the defense of Western Europe, and the European countries simply are not pulling their weight. And as a result of Trump raising this issue both during the campaign and continuing on with it, at least some of the European nations have got the message and are now spending more money. I'm all in favor of doing that. We have had weak presidents, Bush, Obama, that simply wouldn't confront our allies. Well, Trump's not that way. He tries to be diplomatic about it, but he's made this point, and the Europeans, it's not only trade. You know, I pointed out when a couple of weeks ago, when Trump was in Europe and met with the NATO nations, the heads, that if you listen closely, and I went over this, the big export the United States will have is liquefied natural gas. And that's direct competitor with Russian natural gas. Now, the Russian natural gas, much of Europe is very dependent on Russian gas to power their electrical generation power stations, especially Germany. And that's why President Trump was pointing out to what Germany was doing. Here we protect you, spend money in Europe, and then you go spend billions of dollars to buy Russian gas when we have a lot of gas. Now, to get it to Europe would require liquefaction. That's the economic way to do it. You can't really have a pipeline, especially across the ocean. You could have one under the ocean, but that's really not feasible. The way to do it is have LNG, liquefied natural gas tankers. And that gets me right back to the Middle East, because who is a major producer of both oil and natural gas? It's Iran. And they're exporting to Asia, China in particular. So you got to make the connections, and ships have to pass through a very narrow strait, the Strait of Hormuz. And almost daily, but periodically, the Iran doesn't have a large navy, but it has a lot of small boats that harass our naval vessels. And because there's very little room for maneuver, if we ever went to war, the first thing the Iranians would do is go after our fleet, the Fifth Fleet, in the Strait of Hormuz and surrounding areas. So Iran is a difficult situation in terms of what response can the United States do to Iran, because there will be retaliation, and you could see the sinking of one or more U.S. naval vessels, because this would be very much a suicide attempt, very much like the Japanese kamikaze. Well, that's what these boats are, and what they do, it's not one big boat, it's dozens would go after a ship, and you have very little reaction time. You don't know if this is just, and here's the challenge. They do this periodically. They go right up, right near the ship, and then they do a U-turn, if you will. Well, the day that they attack us, they're not going to do a U-turn. They're going to keep on coming, and I think invariably one or more U.S. vessels will be sunk or severely damaged, and then we have war. At some point, once it's determined by Israel and the United States that Iran has a nuclear capability and the ability to deliver it, there's going to be a war. So right now we have a war of words, but it could quickly and easily become a real war. And like I said, currency wars lead to trade wars, and trade wars lead to real wars. This is what we're talking about. The leading export of Iran, as well as the Arab countries in the vicinity, is oil and natural gas. And Israel will be involved, because they're not going to let Iran or the Islamic Republic of Iran develop their nuclear weapons and be able to launch them at Israel. Now, after saying all this, it would be a very difficult mission for Israel or the United States to go after the facilities, both for research and production, that Iran has, because they're like Korea, many of them are deep in mountains. So why we're still exchanging words, threats, however you want to describe it, you need to think about this. And it's not an easy task. It's not that I don't think the United States could truly defeat them. We could, but, and we would have allies that would support us. There's no love between the Arabs and the Persians. That's the first thing you need to understand. And the same thing with the Sunnis and the Shia. But in terms of Iraq, Iran more or less is calling the shots, and the same thing in Syria. So you got three countries, Iran, Iraq, and Syria, dominated by Iran, and their major ally is Russia. And Russia has a naval base in Syria. I only highlight this because words can lead, and unfortunately do lead, to war. And you got to be very, very careful what you say. And the general said, "I respond to you as a soldier." He warns Trump. See, Trump can't, well, he could, but then would be in war. And I don't think Trump, this is the key point. War is not advantageous to the United States or Iran. The challenge for the United States is, can we in any way help the Iranians to overthrow this regime? This is an authoritarian, dictatorial regime ruled by the mullahs. And like I said last show, it's up to the Iranians, the Iranian people, to overthrow this regime. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. And that gets back to who controls the weapons. It is the Revolutionary Army, the army. And they are suppressing dissent, and the people simply don't have the weapons. Oh, they have clubs and knives, and some have some guns and rifles. But you can't take on military force. And the worst thing the United States could do is intervene, because then you'd have the people of Iran united against you. So you got to be very careful what you're doing here. You have to measure your words, but you also have to really think through the options. And that's what we have a military for. We have war plans. If we go to war, what to do? What are the targets, target list, and all that? But I'm just trying to alert you, this is not an easy military situation. I'm not saying we couldn't beat them. That's not my point. We have enough allies, mainly Israel, but also Saudi Arabia, Egypt, the United States, to take on Iran. But Iran is a powerful country, but it's failing in the sense that until you truly have freedom, you're not going to have robust economic growth. And see, President Obama made the big mistake. He never should have entered into that treaty, but he was desperate for a legacy. Well, that legacy is gone. gone. And Iran never signed the agreement. So I'm glad Trump did what he did. Now, if Iran wants to negotiate with Trump, let them. I would hope these exchanges of words, threats, however you want to describe them, would. We need lower voices. But I'm always concerned when I start hearing these stories is that there are people that want to have war with Iran. The neocons in the Republican Party are examples of that. But there are others, both in the Democrat and Republican Party. And they want war with Russia. The American people don't want that. That's why I say the leadership of these political parties is incompetent. They're not an elite. They screwed up the economy, and they've screwed up the foreign policy. Generally, the so-called establishment is incompetent. Oh, they think they're smart. They think they're the best and the brightest. But I'm not impressed with results. You see, Donald Trump is results-oriented. That's what drives these people nuts. But he better be very, very careful here. This is very much troubled waters, dangerous waters. And I don't want to see our men and women that serve in the Navy, Marines in this area lose their lives because, and what you need to worry about is simply accidental war. We've had airliners, we've shot down airliners because we made mistakes. So we need calmer heads, please. A frank exchange of view is okay, but it's best done in private. When it starts to become public, and that's what I'm seeing, I get a little concerned. I say, well, what's going on here? Because what all regimes will do, including the United States government, is they'll ratchet up the propaganda. And that's what you're seeing, a lot of propaganda. A lot of words. The American people want peace and prosperity. They do not want to intervene in the Middle East in a war. Now, in a related story, and I'm not going to spend too much time on this, both Vice President Pence and President Trump have spoken out and made clear to Turkey, Erdogan, that we want Pastor Andrew Brunson not only released from prison, but be able to be totally free. He's now under house arrest. We want him back in the United States. Brunson has been in Turkey over 20 years. And see, what's going on in the Middle East, including Turkey, Turkey's not in the Middle East, but it borders on the Middle East, is the persecution of Christians, Jews, and other religious minorities. And they use pastors that are in these countries as hostages. Erdogan wants to get back someone that he may or may not be right on, was trying to, he thinks, is part of the coup that tried to overthrow him. And this gentleman has been in the United States. He's bringing pressure to get this person back. And that's what I really think this Andrew Brunson, it's all trumped up charges. They're basically saying he was spying. But people that have followed this, there's no evidence of that. That's why both President Trump and Mike Pence and the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, have clearly said to Erdogan and the Turkish government, stop it. Please stop it. Well, we'll see, because it is getting more and more attention. Now, this story first broke out in April when the pastor was arrested. But now it's back in the news, and will Turkey allow this person to go home? That remains to be seen. Pastor Andrew Brunson. He very much is a persecuted religious leader in Turkey. But Turkey has said he's a spy. Well, Donald Trump has tweeted, I'm more a spy than he is. We'll see what happens. I really think this is just, like I said, it's an attempt to put pressure on the United States to send back into Turkey this other gentleman. I don't think it's going to happen, folks. But crazier things have happened. I remember at the end of World War II, we sent Russians back and other peoples, and many of them were executed because they were captured. And they knew they were going to be either in prison or executed, and it happened. So I don't think the United States is going to bend to the demands of Erdogan and Turkey on this matter. Now, I want to switch from foreign policy and go back to domestic policy, and specifically, and I was going to cover this last show, but I'm going to briefly cover it now. There's a move by the Freedom Caucus, Mark Meadows and Jim Jordan, to impeach Rod Rosenstein. I agree that the sooner President Trump gets rid of the Deputy Attorney General, the better. I think his days are numbered, but I don't think President Trump is going to do that until after the elections. It's critical that the Republican Party, at least, and remember, I'm not a Republican or Democrat. I don't care who wins. Gridlock is fine with me, then they get nothing done, because both parties are big government parties. But from a Republican point of view, and I think they're, you know, if you listen to the show, you know this, I think there's going to be not a blue wave, but a red wave, and that the Republicans in the House and the Senate, they're going to pick up seats. Now, that's not what the majority of people are thinking, but the American people are getting upset with, I think, the recklessness of the major television networks and cable news, primarily CNN, but others, in this continuous barrage of over-the-top, overreaching criticisms of the president. The American people don't like this. And it's become so hysterical, and these people suffer from definitely Trump derangement syndrome, that come November, the American people will speak. Now, I'm not predicting that either party is going to pick up many seats. Could the Democrats win? Of course they could. I don't think so in the Senate, but in the House they could. And who knows? We're a little over 100 days before Election Day. Right now, though, if the economic news continues to be good, and tomorrow, I thought it was Thursday, but apparently it's Friday, we will learn what the second quarter real gross domestic product is. I think it'll be somewhere in the low 3%. But keep in mind, this is the advance estimate. There are usually three estimates: the advance estimate, the second, and the third. And the advance estimate, and the reason why you got to be very careful, not only will it be revised, but it doesn't have as much information as the second or third. So this is the first time we know what did the United States economy do in terms of economic growth in the second quarter of this year. And keep in mind, a good quarter does not mean you're going to have a good year. I know Republicans like to say, well, there was no year where we grew at 3%. That's true. And that's the way you need to look at it in the sense of long term. But there were quarters when the U.S. economy grew high threes, 4%. What's important is consistency quarter after quarter after quarter. And we desperately need good economic growth. And you're only going to get that with the proper appropriate economic policies. And why I favor the tax cut: they missed an opportunity to fundamentally reform the tax code by doing away with all federal taxes and replace it with a broad-based consumption tax. But the biggest block, and the reason why I think ultimately Donald Trump will not get the results that he thinks he can get, at least theoretically could get, I think he could get 4, 5, 6%. But you're never going to see 4, 5, 6% as long as the federal government takes the lion's share or an increasing share of total economic resources. And what I'm talking about is what? Government spending. They're going up, up, and up. We'll know by the end of September what the deficit is this year. And that's around $800 billion, and next year is expected to be over $1,000 billion. You can't continue doing it year in, year out. See, that's the lack of leadership of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. Neither party will tell the American people the real truth, that we're in serious financial problems, and the only way to solve it is cut down the size of the government, and neither party is willing to do that. There's not leadership. You need leadership. You need an ability to understand how dangerous this is. You need a vision as to how to correct it. And there's not one magic silver bullet. Yeah, you need fundamental tax reform, but you need to balance the budget, and you don't do it for 1 year. And fundamentally, the ball is in Congress, the House and the Senate. And I don't see anybody that's trying to rein in government spending. Oh, they talk a good game and they want a balanced budget, but they never deliver it. That's my point. If they delivered it, the deficit would be zero. We're so far away from zero, forget it. And a surplus is what we really need. No way. So if you want to know why I've given up on Democrats and Republicans, that's it. You got to be realistic, and you got to understand people lie. Politicians especially lie. And you've been lied to. The American people have been lied to, but they bought the lie. People will believe what they want to believe, and the American people believe that there is such thing as a free lunch. Well, there isn't such a thing as a free lunch. And President Trump understands that. And he's trying to negotiate trade deals and other things that he's going in the right direction, and he's trying to get results, but he's only one person. He has to rely on the Republican Party, and they're not necessarily the smartest party. And I don't trust the Republican Party, because if you go, I always give a plug to Conservative Review. Go to Conservative Review. And there's a scorecard. Go to the scorecard. Look up your congressman. Look up your senator. And in most cases, with few exceptions, their scored is they're D's and F's. Mostly F's. They're not A or B. You know, people in the Freedom Caucus usually are A's or B's. There are some C's. But the leadership is variably either F or D. That's why I'm real happy that Paul Ryan, the House Speaker, is retiring. Oh, he was a smooth talker. And he was a leader. Did we get results? No. He sold out a long time ago. So as far as I'm concerned, good riddance. Oh, he'll cash in. Invariably they cash in. But if you're going to fundamentally try to change the Republican Party, it's not going to happen. You know, I thought long and hard of it, and many people that run for office, and I have no plans to do that, they have to choose first a political party. And even if they run as a Republican, once they get there, they find out that the leadership in the House and the Senate, it's stacked against them. That's why many people are leaving, both Democrats and Republicans. Nothing can get done. And the reason is both parties are big government parties. They're not trying to fundamentally address the problems that the United States face. So anyway, the Freedom Caucus is trying to impeach Rod Rosenstein. If I were Trump, I would have fired him a long time ago. Because he started the Mueller investigation. Oh, he's in on this. He was on the fringes of what I call the Clinton Obama Democratic Party conspiracy. He's part of the problem. He's not part of the solution. But I don't think, I really, as much as I want to support Mark Meadows and Jim Jordan, one, I don't think this impeachment resolution is the way to go. Because, see, even if you got the votes and impeached them, and I'm not a vote counter, I don't know if it would pass, but they might vote on it. If they're going to vote on it, they probably will vote soon because they're going on their summer vacation. I wish them luck, but the problem you get into is then you need a trial, and the trial's in the Senate, and that totally messes up what the Senate wants to accomplish. So the leadership doesn't want to impeach him. And quite frankly, if the Republican Party, whether it's the House members and the Senate, want to get rid of him, then they should go to the President of the United States and tell him to fire him. I'm for firing the SOB. I don't particularly like him. I think he's an arrogant, smug. He's part of the deep state. I don't care if they're Republicans or Democrats. He can't truly be objective. He's conflicted. He never should have appointed Mueller to investigate. There are no grounds by the Department of Justice policies to investigate Trump. And there hasn't been any evidence that he's colluded with the Russian. That's a fairy tale. Yeah, I know who colluded with the Russians. The Hillary Clinton campaign. They paid money to Russians indirectly to manufacture a story, to manufacture an October surprise. It didn't pay off. And it's not paying off in trying to impeach Trump. Oh, they'll lie, lie, and lie. And that gets back to one of the fundamental problems, lying. So, and the Democratic Party is scared to death that the crimes of Hillary Clinton and the Department of Justice under Obama and the FBI under Obama, the CIA, the NSA, and the White House, if it ever truly is investigated, prosecuted, it will do irreparable damage to the Democratic Party. That's why they're running scared, and they will do anything. The ends is just to survive. Now, initially, they started the year thinking, we're going to impeach him. We're going to get him. Well, to impeach him, they first have to control the House. And impeachment is like an indictment. That doesn't mean he's guilty. They don't have anything, and the leadership understands that. Much of this nonsense is propaganda, progressive propaganda, that they peddle to raise money, and it's really directed at their true believers, the Kool-Aid drinkers. So there's a move afoot. Whether or not they'll succeed, we'll see. But I support them, but it would mess up the Senate. I would much rather now, since we've waited and waited and waited, wait to after the election and then don't impeach him, fire him. Make the case to the president. And I don't think he has to be persuaded very much. And if that means Attorney General Sessions resigns, he's threatened to do that if Rosenstein is fired, then fire. Accept his resignation. There's no indispensable person. It's hard for especially people that have been senators. They think they're hot stuff. They're indispensable. Nobody's indispensable. So why I still respect and admire Jeff Sessions, I'm truly disappointed in his performance as Attorney General, and he better watch out. Now, I might not know everything. But I thought by now that Attorney General Sessions would heed the pleas of senators, congressmen, Republicans to appoint a second counsel. That's what he has to do, and he has to be careful who he appoints, and he needs to do it correctly. But he should do it, because this is what's not what I don't think Washington understands. If you get outside of Washington, a lot of Americans, and I will even say the majority of Americans, they don't trust government, and now they don't trust the Department of Justice or the FBI because of the partisan way they handle the Hillary Clinton investigation and what they try to do to Trump, both. They thought they would find dirt. They didn't. And then they tried to they manufactured it. That's what they did. And today I was just reading over it. I have a couple of books that deal with this, and I just was reading the dossier, and I said, this is nonsense. And that's what it was. It was fabricated disinformation. Fabricated by who? Russians. For who? The Hillary Clinton campaign and the Democratic Party. Who's colluding with the Russians? And we paid these Russians. Now, finally, I have about a minute, and that's all it's worth. It looks like there was a New York Times. I think it's the New York, not the magazine, New York. Came out an article that apparently, this is another of these leaks, that Special Counsel Mueller is going after the tweets of Donald Trump. And maybe if he examines all of them, he might come up with a tweet the smoking gun that shows that Donald Trump was trying to obstruct justice by either threatening or rewarding people in his tweets. Good luck. If that's where Mueller is at right now, the best thing he could do is quickly, promptly wrap it up. Because that dog's not going to hunt. The President of the United States has free speech, and he's going to communicate his agenda. But this is just another desperate, I mean really desperate, move the special counsel. Now, other people disagree. There are lawyers, and there always are, that, well, he can come up with that one tweet that's going to mean he's guilty of obstruction of justice. Well, you better have a lot more evidence, and you haven't produced it, sir. And you've gone far afield. This was I'm all for a counterintelligence investigation to stop meddling espionage by Russia. And so is the American people. And I say, hey, if you got the evidence, produce it. But they haven't. That's the point. They haven't produced anything. And remember, for almost a year, not quite, prior to the appointment of Special Counsel Mueller, the FBI was investigating. But it was a rigged investigation. It was a partisan. It was a biased investigation. So that's why I say the American people have lost confidence in the Department of Justice and the FBI, and they're not going to regain it unless there's a truly independent investigation done by a special counsel into the Hillary Clinton email investigation, the Hillary Clinton investigation of the Clinton Foundation done by the FBI. And the people involved in that investigation, I believe, face criminal charges, malfeasance. The evidence was there. They were corrupted. And the only reason they did it, and they were somewhat sloppy about it, they thought Hillary Clinton was going to win. But surprise, surprise, she didn't win. And now they're going to have to face the music. And yes, I think there should be a special counsel appointed. And whether Jeff Sessions appoints him or his replacement appoints him, I don't care. What people are saying, independents and Republicans, is we do not believe you have two justice systems, one for the well-connected, well-placed, such as Hillary Clinton, and another for the American people. They're demanding justice, and they're demanding that Hillary Clinton be investigated and prosecuted if the evidence is there, and anybody involved in this criminal conspiracy, from Barack Obama to Valerie Jarrett to National Security Advisor Susan Rice to Attorney General Loretta Lynch to a Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates, and there are others in the Justice Department, and then going right down to the FBI, James Comey, the FBI director, former FBI director, and former deputy director Andrew McCabe, and Lisa Page, and Peter Strzok, and it goes to the CIA, Brennan. There are dozens of people involved, and they're in number of departments, including the departments that normally would investigate this, namely the FBI, and prosecute this, namely the Department of Justice. That's why you need a special counsel. When? Soon, sir, soon. And Trump better get on this. Preferably before November. If you want timing, the sooner the better. Now, I think what they've been waiting for is the wrap-up of the Mueller investigation. Well, I see no indications that the Mueller investigation is wrapping up. I don't. I think they're trying to drag this out at least through November and December into 2019. And that's the problem with special counsels as well as special prosecutors. But instead of, how should I say this, wasting the time of the American people on bogus, fabricated, I'll use Comey's words, salacious, unverifiable information. That's the Christopher Steele dossier. This keeps going on and on. Wrap it up. Wrap it up. Write your report. Shut it down. I think he's going to take it through 2019. But I would put more and more and more pressure on him to shut it down. And I think this will backfire. I really do. And I think President Trump is playing it for all it's worth. He thinks this benefits him and the Republicans. And he might be right. But you need to energize your base, voter base, and get it out. So if he's going to do anything, he'll do it September, October time frame. Or he'll wait. He'll just wait. But then he might miss his opportunity because if the Democratic Party should sneak one in, and they've been known to steal elections. Either one or both houses could go to the other party. I truly don't think so. But we're over 100 days to election day. So I don't think there's much there in these tweets. Oh, you might find one, but you're going to prosecute them for obstruction of justice? The president can fire almost anyone in the government. Now, I'm not talking career civil service. I'm talking in terms of political appointees. And he was completely, first of all, justified in firing Comey. And I think he gave Comey a chance that I don't think Hillary Clinton would have waited very long. I think the first day or week, Comey would be gone. I don't think anyone argues that. And unfortunately, that's exactly what President Trump should have done. You learn from your mistakes. And sometimes you misjudge people, especially presidents. Presidents make mistakes on personnel all the time. Because a lot of times they're relying on the recommendations of people they either trust or have influence on them. And what that tends to lead to is you have people in positions that it can turn out. Many times nothing happens because we're talking with such a huge bureaucracy. Do you think the president really knows what's going on in all the departments and all the agencies? I don't. I know they have cabinet meetings. No, you got to delegate. That's why it's key to pick good people, especially on key positions. But there's so many positions. There are over 3,000. Definitely 3,000, but they're more than that. And then they need to appoint deputies, and most of the people that get appointed deputies either are currently working there or have worked for prior administrations. So I don't put much credence in this story that Mueller's going after the tweets of Trump because I really don't think it's going to matter to hill of beans. And I'm frankly tired of this whole thing. And I think that's what you need to understand. The attempt by big lie media, and it propagates progressive propaganda, has failed because the American people simply don't believe it. If you don't believe what people are saying, you tend not to watch it, and they're shutting it down. They're not listening. They're not buying your papers. They're not listening. And advertisers notice that. If people aren't buying your papers or not listening to your television show or your radio show, what's happening right now in many papers, and it's been going on now for several decades, They're either closing down or cutting staff. And the same thing's going to happen to CNN and others. Because it's a business, and you got to make money. And to make money, you need advertising. And advertisers look at the ratings. And if you can't attract an audience for whatever reason, and they've gone down this road rather far, they've, in my mind, the networks, CNN, have lost credibility. I don't have a television home. I haven't watched them in decades. But when I'm in the newsroom, yeah, CNN's on or Fox on or one of the other networks. I don't really watch them other than to see what are the breaking stories and see if I'm picking the right breaking stories. So I won't be back to Monday, so I was looking forward. I thought Thursday was going to be the release date. The Department of Commerce comes out with its quarterly advance estimates, usually the last Thursday or Friday, but it's going to be Friday. So I'll wait to Monday and have more information. And hopefully tomorrow I'll catch up on the post-production. I've been a little bit jammed up. So have a good weekend. I'll be back Monday. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio. WordPress.com